Alrighty. So glad y'all here today. Let's open our Bibles. We're going to dive right in. Acts chapter 9. Now, as Peter was traveling around from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. He found there a man named Aeneas, who had been confined to a mattress for 8 years because he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." Some of your translations may say Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. That works. Jesus the Christ heals you. Get up and make your own bed. And immediately he got up. Verse 35, I love this verse. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, which was another small town, saw him. And they did what? They turned to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would anoint our hearts and our ears today to receive your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the power of your Holy Spirit would be welcomed into every heart and life today. Jesus, we didn't come just to hear a song and a sermon. We came to encounter you. And God, I pray that your glory would come down in this place. Lord, we are thankful for all the contributions today. God, the psalmists were awesome. The worship was great. God, your word is always powerful. But Lord, we want to meet you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would just encounter every person in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. This passage kind of got stuck in my spirit this week, and I was so excited Friday as I was working on this message. I thought, you know, I have a feeling our guys, our worship team, Adam and Rachel, I have a feeling they're going to do Jesus Did It, because if that would just be so perfect for this message. And sure enough, got the list this morning. Jesus Did It. And if you weren't here, that was the first song we did. So powerful. I'm going to have the band come back, not now, but at the end of the message, if you would, during our prayer time, I want you to declare that again, because that is some powerful theology. Jesus did it. He already took care of your healing. He took care of your deliverance. He took care of the price and the penalty of your sin. He already took care of whatever holds you in chains. Jesus has done it. And I read this story in Acts 9, and it just stirs my spirit, because I just realize there's some very important things in this very simple 4 or 5 verse story that we read in Acts chapter 9. And because, you know, in Acts, we kind of have a transition, right? The first part of Acts is about the Apostle Peter, and kind of from chapter 10 on, or 11 on, it becomes more about the Apostle Paul. And so this is a window into the ministry of the Apostle Peter. And he is in this little town called Lydda. And the Bible says he's visiting the saints there, and he comes across. How he came across, we don't know. Perhaps walking down a street, perhaps they were doing something else, but they encounter a man named Aeneas. And Aeneas was a man who had been paralyzed, and he was on a mat. He was probably placed in a place and had a cup or something to collect money, or alms, as they might call it, for people to help him, for people to have sympathy on him, because here was a man who had to have everyone else's help to function in life. It's a pretty sad place to be. And he laid helpless for 8 years. And Peter came in and he said, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." I want you to see, first of all, in this story, is what Jesus offers, he offers right now. What Jesus offers, he offers right now. There's an immediacy in what Jesus has done.
This is why we're in a church, and many churches are like this, that we have an altar time after the preaching. Why? Because it's not about sitting through a sermon. It's not about hearing worship, as great and as good as wonderful as those things are and may be. It is about encountering Jesus Christ. And when we preach the gospel, there should be this immediacy that is hanging over us, knowing that God is able to do it right now. We called out prostate cancer. You called out whatever else this morning, Brother Jason. I want to tell you, Jesus has the power to heal it right now. He has the power to deliver you right now. He has the power to set you free right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to talk about it in past tense. We can stop talking about God like He's not in the room, because He is here today. And what Jesus offers is very present. Very present. Jesus did it. Doesn't have to be done over. No redo is necessary. When Jesus died, when His blood shed and stained the ground, and He came out of the tomb on the third day, He purchased the ability for you and I to be healed. He purchased the ability for you and I to be delivered. I want to tell you, friends, it is not the icing on the cake. It is the cake. It's what the gospel is. It's good news. God came to do it, and He's still doing it today. Paul told the Corinthians that my deeds among you aren't a byproduct of God's power. They are a manifestation of God's power. In other words, the deeds are the message. And the message is the deed. What's the gospel? The gospel is not just a bunch of words. The gospel is power to change, heal, deliver, fill, transform. This was early Christianity. The deeds were the message. The message were the deeds. We've kind of shifted from that a little bit in modern America, have we not? Tragically. So literally, every single person, there is like this wineskin that's filled with, I would say, the new wine or the blood of Jesus. It's hovering above every human being, and it's just about to burst. And when it does, that person's life will be transformed. They will be delivered. They will be set free. Everyone has the potential to encounter Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Deliverance isn't for a select few. It's for every human being. The filling of the Holy Spirit isn't for a select few. It is for all flesh. Salvation's not for just a few, it's forever. It's for whosoever the Lord God calls. Whosoever can enter into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? It's not a select club. It's not for just a few. Jesus came and bled the ground red for all of humanity, that all men and women, boys and girls, can have a way to have their sin taken, because that's our problem. It's sin, to have our sin taken care of and make a way for us back to the Father. All of us are eligible, and it begins right now. So, it's Aeneas. Jesus, could you imagine? Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. I wonder what it looked like. Aeneas was laying there for a second. That's something I haven't heard before. But these faith-filled words spoken, not from the power of a man, but written on the bank, a check written on the bank of the power reserves of heaven. Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Now get up and make your bed. I wonder how long it took Aeneas to respond. I wonder if he sat there and debated. Wonder if he, the Bible doesn't say it. It just says he did it. He got up, right? I just wonder what that would look like today, you know, because I think sometimes people try to talk themselves out of their healing. They talk themselves out of their deliverance. You're delivered and you're healed. Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor. You don't know. I've had this a long time. It's been 8 years laying on this bed, and I've been spiritually paralyzed, and I can't A, B, C, D, and E. You know what you've just done? You've just discounted the power of God. And we wonder why we don't see miracles, healing, signs, and wonders.
I was reading this week, and I forget who the quote was, but someday, maybe it was, I don't know if it was A.W. Tozer, it might have been, or Leonard Ravenhill. Someday someone, or maybe it was Smith Wigglesworth, it was one of those guys, someday someone's going to read the Bible for how it is and believe it and do it, and it's going to change the planet. Jesus has done it. And that power hangs over each of us, pregnant with possibility. You don't have to leave here like you came. When I was little, we had a song, an old hymn. You don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. I've got the tune all wrong. You could be bound, oppressed, tormented, or lame. But the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. There is immediacy in what Jesus offers. I have no time or no patience to go sit in services anywhere that talk about God in the past tense. That's why I'm Pentecostal, I guess. Imminent grace. You hear me say it all the time. What is that? There is unbelievable power and possibility hanging over human being. It's the power and the glory and the blood of Jesus, whatever, the new wine that's ready to, at any moment, you can be free from your chains. You can be free from your illness. You can be free from what holds you free. Healed. Are you tracking with me this morning? What Jesus offers, He offers right now. Not in the past. Not, oh, I know, someday I'll be healed when I'm in glory, brother. When Jesus went to resurrect Lazarus, right? That's what Martha said, you know. Jesus said, no, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe in me, you know, you're going to have new life and you'll be raised. Oh, we know, Lord, when we all are in glory. No, Martha, I mean right now. See, I think some of us need to adjust our watch, our spiritual watches. It's like we have our eyes so much on the future and when things will be better in the future. But God's glory and God's kingdom is right now. It's in this moment and God can do right now. Right now. But see, flesh, our experience, other people's voices tend to beat down on that faith. But here's a fresh infusion of apostolic faith right here. Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you right now. Well, you mean I don't have to wait anymore? I don't have to go back to doctors? I don't have to try to explain away my weakness? I don't have to try to hide things from anybody? I don't have to try? No. It's right now. You're free. Right now. And that's why it's the gospel. The gospel's good news. It's now. The message of the gospel is the power. The power is the message. Because Jesus changed lives. Question is, do we have the faith to believe that? Do we have the faith to declare that? Because you see, the devil tries to tell you that you've gone too far. Too much sin. You've used up all of your chances. You've sinned too much. God won't do anything with you now. He has no use for you. I want to tell you, if you're hearing that, the devil is a liar. I would ask, why do you listen to the lies of the devil? Why do you question your value to Jesus? Why do you believe the lie that it's over for you and that God can't use you and you have nothing left to offer God? I'm used up, Lord. I have nothing left to give. Well, I am here to tell you that hell is lying to you. And I declare the word of the Lord over you from Isaiah 49. But this is a people plundered and looted. And they are, all of them are trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. And they have become plunder with no one to rescue them. Spoil with
with no one to say restore. Well, I am here today to declare restore over you. I am here today to declare the restoration of God's power over a people who are bound and who need freedom, who need healing, to a society, to a culture of people that have been plundered. They've been robbed by the enemy. They've been lied to by politicians. And Jesus the Christ would say to them today,
you are healed. Arise. Some people may look at us and say, well, they don't look like much. Some people may look at us and say, I don't believe in them. I don't think they can do anything. But I want to tell you something, friends. God says, wait, I know them. They may look broken. They may look beat down. They may look like they're nothing, but I want to tell you, I'm about to bring a people back into full restoration. And when they come back into full restoration, you won't recognize them, and hell is going to have to pay for what it's done to them. Anyone here believe that? Shout amen. Come on. Something else I want you to see in this passage, number two. This is a good message for pastors, ministers, whoever's. I'm preaching it to me since I'm one of them. It's not our ministry. It's His ministry. Right? This is what Jesus does. Heal, deliver, restore. It's not a man's ministry. It's not a church ministry. It is the ministry of Jesus. That's why if it's in the New Testament, I want to be good at it. Because it's part of the ministry of Jesus. We see it in Scripture. We do it. I don't understand, church. Well, we don't do that. We don't do deliverance. We don't offer that. Well, why not? That is the ministry of Jesus. That is what Jesus did. Why do people try to change that? Why do some men try to reduce that? Because the gospel of the kingdom is a message of freedom from sin, freedom from sickness, and freedom from demonic oppression. It always has been. That was a hallmark of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus showed up, demons had to go. When Jesus showed up, sin was forgiven. People were healed. It is the gospel. The gospel is not coming around and raising money for different causes and good causes. That's fine. That's wonderful. But that's not the purpose of a church. Purpose of a church is not to sit around and become political and be a political arm for a political party. That is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not to offer fun activities for the entire family so the whole family can be, have their fun day. No, that's wonderful, but that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. Once everyone's saved and set free and delivered, then we can play around, I suppose, but I think that's going to be called heaven. Right now, pardon my English, there ain't no cruise ships to ride in right now. Because see, there's a lot of Christians, they're down on the gaming deck right now playing in church. They haven't heard the cries of the lost. It's been a while since they went on the top deck and gone to the edge and saw people drowning in their sin and saw people drowning in their addictions and saw people crying out for help while the church is basking in its whatevers. It's not our ministry, friends. It's His. And for those who are all cobbed up with the false theology of what we would call cessationism, why would Jesus want His ministry to cease? Why would Jesus introduce the gospel, tell His followers that which He had taught and done to do the same, and then suddenly pull the rug out from everyone and say, oops, that's not for today. I'm sorry. Why would Jesus do that? Some say, well, because the apostles died. So the scriptures say that God is not a respecter of persons. That must be false then. God respected some in the early church, but after a certain time period, no one else gets that same benefit. I want to tell you, friend, that's not only the most ridiculous line of thinking, it's not biblical. If Jesus did it so can we. If the early church did it, so can we. And if we don't see it happening, the problem is not here, it's here. The gray matter between our ears. I want to just, if you got your Bible, and I'm pretty sure you do, because we just read from it, Acts. Let's go to Acts real quick. Acts 1. Go to Acts 1, 1 through 8. I want you, boys and girls, I'm so excited that you've joined us today. This is the fifth Sunday of the month, and that's Family Sunday at Destiny. So, boys and girls, you're doing so awesome today. I love every one of you. Y'all are paying great attention, coloring your pages, doing good. Yeah. Acts 1, 1 through 8. I wrote the former account, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After he had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, to the same apostles also after his suffering, he presented himself alive with many convincing proofs. He was seen by them over a 40-day period. By the way, that's one of the things that makes one of those apostles an apostle. To be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. That's what makes those 12 unique and different from everyone else. Not their ability to do miracles, because we see other people besides them doing miracles in Acts. Miracles were not exclusive to the apostles. Plenty of other people, right? Philip, Stephen, they had crazy. Philip, man, he was transported, right? He was like lifted up and moved. I mean, talking about unusual miracles, that's pretty unusual. He wasn't an apostle. It spoke matters concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 4, while he was with them, he declared, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait here for what my Father had promised, which you have heard about from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 6, so when they had gathered together, they began to ask him, "Lord, is this the time when you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He told them, "You are not permitted to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth." Jesus gave us power to do what? To be witnesses. Why would we need power to be a witness of Jesus Christ? Now here's a common answer. Well, we need, you know, when we're sharing our faith with people, we need some boldness to. Okay, that's not what the scripture says though. He could have said, I mean, God could have said anything. Jesus could have said anything, right? But he didn't say boldness. He didn't say, but you will receive boldness when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, those people, once they received the Holy Spirit, they prayed for boldness. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, you will receive dunamis, an explosive power to be my witnesses. I want to tell you, baked in this cake is supernatural stuff that we like to marginalize and write out of the clause and just kind of, you know, overlook. But the reality is, Jesus intended for every single one of his followers. Remember, he said that to over 500 people, over 500 followers, tarry in Jerusalem. So 120 made it. Made it to the 10-day prayer meeting. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received power. And what is the power we're talking? Why would the Holy Spirit give us power so we could be witnesses? The reason why, my friends, is because the world still needs to see the power of Jesus Christ demonstrated. You know what the world is really sick of? I promise. I hear it and you do too. Someone said it. They're sick of the talk. They want to see somebody demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ. And you see, this was the ministry of Jesus. It was a ministry of power. So
You know, did Jesus merely want us to use brilliant words and leave people in stunned silence after we talk and we drop the mic and, oh, we delivered a soliloquy at work and we just dropped our microphones and they just were in awe and wanted to study Jesus at our feet? That's not why the Holy Spirit came. He may give you words to say, but he came to give you power. You. Not your full-time pastor, not full-time staff, not volunteer staff, not people who have a YouTube ministry and a following of greater than 1,000, not people who have a YouTube ministry and followers of 3 million and they get, you know, $500,000 a month in Google ad money. No. He wants to use you, a believer in Jesus Christ, not a feeler, but a believer. He is able to do exceedingly above anything we can ask or imagine. This is the Christ that has filled you with his Holy Spirit, that you would operate as Jesus on this planet, doing what? His ministry. His was a ministry of power. His was a ministry of deliverance. You look in the Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul was a pretty smart guy. He was one of the greatest evangelists of all time, but that's not what was his focus, was it? 1 Corinthians 2:4 says this, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." There goes that idea out the window. Oh, so a slick preacher doesn't help us. Okay. Having the right words to say, okay. Oh, that doesn't help us. Okay. "I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power." Why? Why? Why not just come with persuasive words? Lots of people, lots of pastors do that today. Let me just give you persuasive words. But that's not how the gospel, that wasn't Jesus's ministry. Jesus did a lot of teaching, but Jesus always did the miracle. He backed it up. Early church, they did a lot of teaching and preaching. We see that, but then they backed it up. They even prayed, "God, after we preach, please let there be miracles, signs, and wonders to verify and to confirm the message we just preached." That was the mentality. Remember? The deeds were the message. The message were the deeds. Why not? Why not on wise and persuasive words? Because Paul answers it in the very next verse. Are you ready? "So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Because can I tell you a little secret? If your faith is resting on human wisdom, it ain't going to last. The first little storm, and you're gone. Another COVID come, you're gone. All right? A little trial in my life. I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't planning for that. Gone. Where's God? What's God doing? Well, when your faith is built on the wisdom of man, it's not going to last. But if your faith is built on the power of God, hell could be all around you. You could have fire, you could have all kinds of terrible things going on at once, and you'll be like that little cartoon dog and that little meme saying, "This is fine." Whoever came up with it is pretty funny. I know there's a lot of different applications for that, but that's really biblical. They stole that from the Bible. What, you don't know that? "You prepareth a table before me around my enemies." This is fine. That's my coffee right there. This is fine. Because when your faith is built on the power of God. You then, my friends, are standing on the rock of Christ Jesus, not just what some pearly white smile guy said from a pulpit or a TV screen or whatever else, but it came from an encounter with God that lifted you out of your mess. He lifted you out of your sin. He lifted out of you out of your past. He lifted you out of whatever had you bound, and He has set you on a rock. You aren't going to sell Him out. You aren't going to turn back. You're not going to cash in someday and say, oh, I can't take it anymore. You will have faith that's built on the power of God. Woo! I would submit to you this morning that God's power displayed, it's not just nice when it shows up, but it's necessary that it does. I want to tell you, when demons are cast out, that's a display of God's power. In fact, I believe in the lineup of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, where it's the gifts of power. I really think that's what Paul's talking about. I think he's talking about demons being cast out. When someone is healed, a display of God's power. When sin is forgiven, when a life is transformed, like Brother Dylan saw this morning, that's a display of God's power. When someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks in other tongues, it's a display of God's power. These things aren't just nice if they happen, my friends. They must happen. Or you have the right to question whether I'm a real preacher of the gospel. Let me say that again. If those things aren't happening, you have a right to question if I am a legitimate preacher of the gospel or not. Because the Bible tells me these signs will follow, those will believe. In the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will heal sick. They will raise the dead. They will cleanse lepers. All of these things. We should expect to see something like that. And if we're not, we have the right to question. You have the right to question me. You can question me anyway. That's fine. Questions never bother me. But if we're not seeing signs and wonders, people delivered, people transformed by the power, people healed, you have a right to say, are we preaching the gospel, Pastor? Please hold me to the fire. Hold my feet to the fire with that. I wish every pastor in Dayton would say that today. Hold my feet to the fire. If we're not seeing people healed, delivered from demons, you come up and say, are you preaching the gospel, Pastor? Because that's not the gospel I'm seeing in the Bible. Because if it's Jesus' ministry and not my ministry, we're going to be seeing people healed, seeing people have devils cast out. Amen? Woo! Why would Jesus stop that ministry? Doesn't make sense. Gospel means good news, and the good news is it hasn't stopped. Amen? All right, quickly. Number three, when Jesus restores, He empowers. It's not just I'm healed, but now I'm restored. So Aeneas, since you're healed now, my brother, I want you to get up, sir, and I want you to make your own bed. You see that? See, others have been taking care of you for the last 8 years. You have been dependent on other people to get your food and to make your bed and to take care of you. But now you are healed, and here's a little sidebar of good news. You're restored, sir. In other words, get back to work because you're healthy now. You had a 30-second rehab with Jesus. He came down, healed, rehabbed you. Now you're up making your bed and getting your own food. Come on. You are no longer helpless. Hear me. You're no longer a victim. You see, today in America, whomever it is trying to help keep you in victim status is your spiritual enemy. The one who wants to keep telling you over and over and over that you are oppressed. When Jesus has made you a new creation, they are lying to you. And they are lying to you because they want you to stay in victim mode. Because they want something from you. They want your vote. They want your allegiance. But my allegiance belongs to King Jesus. And King Jesus says, I'm free. He says, I'm delivered. He says, I am whole. Because in victim mode, you live in fear. In victim mode, you are powerless. You will never find victory when living as the victim. So when Jesus restores, he empowers. In Christ, you're not a victim anymore. Bible says, if Christ is for me, who can be against me? For those who say, oh, you're oppressed. Hey, if Christ is for me, who can be against me? Let the heathen rage. Let people say what they want to say. No one can stop them. No one can stop me. If Jesus is inside of me, if Jesus has freed me, there's no man, there's no political party, there's no figure in history that can stop us. Good grief, Mother Teresa, an elderly lady, served and fed 100,000 people in India. She didn't even have email. She didn't know how to work email. She didn't have an email address. She didn't have a cell phone. She was oppressed. Don't tell her that. Powerful churches have been built in countries where Christianity is illegal. Oh, but we're victims. We're oppressed. They're trying to kill us. They're against us. They don't like us. Do they say that? No. See how the devil wants to play victim? You know what victimhood is? It plays on your self-pity. And it provides a really great excuse for your failure. It becomes a good excuse for not getting there. I'll blame somebody else. I'll blame society. I'll blame culture. I'll blame the man. The man is holding me back. Hey, Will, if it's you're going to be run by your mind, if you're going to be run by your soul, or if you're going to let the Spirit of God come alive inside of you, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop this church. Nobody can stop the body. Are you with me? Nobody can stop the body of Christ. No one can stop us. And that's why anyone trying to play up victimhood and oppression, I will tell you, they are not for you. They're against you. Because the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Aeneas could have said, well, Brother Peter, thank you for your prayers. But you know, I'm a recovering paralytic. And it's going to take me a few days. So give me some time to acclimate. This is all new to me, Brother Peter. I wasn't raised this way. So, you know, give me some time to acclimate. No. Aeneas, you're healed. Rise. Make your own bed now. You see that? Awesome. I love that. But if I get off this bed, then I won't be able to collect my check anymore. I got free money right here. Dr. Randy Clark was telling how he had a lady who was deaf. She came forward in her meeting. He had a healing meeting, and she came forward for healing, and God healed her completely of deafness. It's like, long story short, her celebration turned to wonderment because she got home and realized that if she could now hear, she would no longer get a check from the government. And that began to bother her. And you know what happened? She lost her healing miracle. Deafness came back on her. You see what victimhood does to people? It destroys. It's a cancer that rots your soul. And that's what the devil loves. The devil parties in inner city America. The devil parties in places where victimhood is played up. The devil loves that. Let people think they're a victim. And then they will never become free. They will never become valors. They will never become victorious. See, that's why the gospel is as much about deeds as it is about the message. Because Jesus comes along and says, Aeneas, you're healed. You're healed. You don't have to struggle anymore. You're not a victim. You're free. You're liberated. See what I'm saying? The devil hates. That's why the devil hates the gospel. Because he'd rather keep people in chains. He'd rather keep people with a little carrot floating up. Well, if you do this, and we'll do this for you. That's the love of the government, isn't it? You do this, and we'll give you some love. Jesus, we sang about it this morning, he says, I love you, period. Period. You don't have to jump through hoops. You just come as you are. You bring me your junk. You bring me your brokenness. You bring me your pain. And I'll take it all. And I'll make you new inside. And I'll heal you. And I'll change you. And I'll transform you. And you won't be like you were before. You don't have to argue it. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to wonder about it. Jesus wants to do it now. Because when He restores, He empowers. I'm sure there would have been people today, if this miracle would have happened out on the streets of Huber Heights, streets of Dayton, there would have been people put off about what the Apostle Peter said here. He's telling a paralytic man to get up and make his own bed. How cruel. How cruel. But when the man was healed at the gate beautiful, he immediately was walking, leaping, and praising God. Suddenly he went from ignored and overlooked to the center of attention. He was the center of controversy. He became living evidence of the power of the gospel. The devil hates it. Oh, the devil hates it. The devil hates it. The devil is terrified of what would happen in this country. From small town to large city, from rural to urban. If people would just believe the gospel, from sea to shining sea, from coast to lakes, from northwest to southeast, the devil is terrified for people to grab a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ is available right now to transform them. He's terrified of that. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, remember when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? What did she do? She immediately got up and began to serve. That's what the Bible says. Healed and empowered. That's what Jesus does. Heal. And as a talking man to man to the men, isn't that what we want? We don't want someone doing stuff. We want to be the men of our family. We want to be the men. We want to lead family, right? We want to lead our family. We want to be men that can do what God has empowered us to do as priests. Same with moms in here. You want to be what God has called you to be. Empowered. Empowered. Remember, if Jesus did it, it's done. And then lastly, I'm closing with this. Finally, I want to be clear. The miraculous, number four, still draws people to Jesus. Still draws people to Jesus. There's a lot of ways you can grow a church, but this is the biblical way. You can draw people with the wisdom of man. You can draw people all kinds of ways. I think last I checked, there's 17 models to plant a church, and not one of them is a biblical model. They're all based on Chick-fil-A and business models. Very few go back to the book of Acts and say, this is the model right here. Oh, but this model costs something. This model is expensive, not necessarily in the dollar figure, but it costs me something. So that's why we always say, you know, people, Americans especially, will spend millions and billions of dollars to go to Israel every year just so we can walk where Jesus walked. Because it's a lot cheaper to do that than to get Jesus to walk where you're walking right now. And there's nothing wrong to go into Israel. I hope to do it someday. But I would much rather have Jesus walk where I'm walking. And there's a price to pay for that, friends. We talked about consecration last week or week before, whatever that was. There's something to consecrating ourselves. The Bible says, was that verse 35 in our text, Acts 9? Y'all still there? All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him. And what did they do? They turn to the Lord. Some might say, well, I'm not seeing the supernatural flow of God in my life or my ministry. Well, maybe that's the problem. You still see it as your ministry. It's not your ministry. I would humbly suggest that if we're not seeing the ministry of Jesus manifesting in us, then it's time to pray, fast, surrender, consecrate ourselves until we get there, which is pretty good advice to do anyway, right? I would preach about it happening. I would talk about it. I would hang around a tribe of people who are like-minded. That's something we talked about last week in our breakfast. You know, church membership is whatever, but I want to tell you what you need to do is find people who are like-minded, who believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, who believe in the kingdom of God being manifested in the earth today, and hang around those people. You need to hang around people, a tribe of people that believe in a supernatural power of God, who just, he hangs like a pregnant bubble above every head, ready to burst out his glory of healing and deliverance over every human being that would call on him. You need to hang with a tribe of people. Why? Because that will build your faith. I'm going to hang around the like-minded. I need my faith built up. I don't know about you, but I need my faith built up all the time. If you're wanting to enter a higher level of faith, listen, evaluate who you're hanging around with. Evaluate who you're listening to. If you want to grow in this area, what podcast are you listening to? What books are you reading? Are you reading the Word? What kind of preaching are you listening to? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you want to level up, you need to fill your mind with those who will take Jesus at His Word, and those who read the book and will say, if Jesus did it, then He's doing it now. If Jesus did it then, Jesus is doing it today. If the apostles could do it, then we can do it. If the early church could do it, then we can do it. All other forms of Christianity are bogus. Ooh. That sounded stronger coming out than it did in my brain. But it's true. They can say whatever they want about me, us. But they're going to have a really hard time refuting the lame walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the demon-possessed set free and in their right minds. They can criticize me all they want, but what are you going to say to that? You don't have much of an argument, do you? Like, nuh-uh. That didn't happen. Well, here you're standing right here, Peter and John. Here you're standing right here. Ask him. Or the blind man. They tried to grill him. How were you healed? You've been blind all your life. We knew your parents. I don't know why I'm talking like this all of a sudden. What'd the man say? I don't know what happened, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. That ended the argument right there. Okay, we're done. All right, you guys have a nice day. We'll see. Come back next week. We'll see you. All right. Hope to see you again soon. God bless. The miracles of Jesus are valid today, and it still draws people. And I would say, my friends, it needs to happen because the gospel is demonstrated. The gospel must be demonstrated, not just talked about. Not building a church on the wisdom of man. Because Jesus is the star. We're not the star. Rock star preachers make me want to go, it's gross. There's no stars in the kingdom of God. There's Jesus. And if somebody gets awarded on a higher level, we'll celebrate them in heaven. But I have a feeling it's going to be people we haven't heard of on earth. I really have that feeling. Some of the people with the highest awards. Who's that guy? I never heard. They didn't have a TV ministry. They weren't YouTube stars. Yeah. Jesus was made famous by his followers, and he wants us to make him famous today. I'd like you to stand. I want you to get your communion in your hand. I'd like the band to come and get ready. We're going to take communion first, y'all, so you can take it with us. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. Yes, if you need communion, if you would just wave at Becky here in the front. Anybody at all, you need a communion cup? Hopefully we're going to use all these up soon and go back to the regular stuff. Everyone said amen to that, I know. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there? If not, I'll just read it to you. You don't need to turn. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you, Father. For I received from the Lord that what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Today, I want you to get the bread in your hand. And today, as we take communion, I want this just to serve as an act of consecration once again to the Lord. I want us all 100% to consecrate ourselves to the Lord Jesus. I want us just to give the yes and amen to the word of the Lord today from Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 35. And I want us to just to declare the Lord that we are all in with you. We are all in with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are all in with you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.